Brother Tim done a good job, didn't
he? Amen.
I thought, well, he'd preach after that.
He's going to do good.
Amen. You got more confidence in me than I have. 1 Samuel 30. Hey, man, about 3 or 4 days ago, this got on my heart, so it's fresh. 1 Samuel 30. I've had 10 chemos, so I'm pretty weak. Then I broke my right leg. Now I'm aggravated. Then my left foot got all cockeyed. I'm really aggravated. So I ain't going to run and kick like Brother Tim, but I might preach. So I'll try if God will help me. I've been coming this direction. Old-fashioned, I started a long way up the road, another way, another place, down the road, whatever you want to call it. And I come a long way to get here. You may not know what that means, but God knows. I wasn't raised this way. If you look at John, at this passage, the one I'm interested in is verse 11 through 15. And I don't want to read it right now. You know the story. David has been threatened. Let me thank you for having me. I get ahead of myself. It's on my mind. I want to preach, so you know. But let me say this. David had been threatened and thought he was going to be, and I'm not sure he did wisely, but he did. Whatever he did, he did. And he left Israel and went to the Philistines. He did that twice. And one time, he feigned himself to be mad. And so Achish said, well, what I want with a crazy man. But now this time he didn't feign himself to be mad. He went to the Philistines. Achish liked him. He took him into his favor. And David said, look, it's not going to be good for us to run around among your people. So just give me some little area out in the country. And I'll just not mingle myself around where you all are. And so they give him Ziklag. A little town called Ziklag on the south of Judah. And, the Philistines Israel and the Philistines were in a war. And Achish called David and he said, I want you to fight, go up to war with me. And we're going to whip Israel. Well, we all know that David loved Israel and he loved Saul, even though Saul didn't love him. And we probably know he's not going to shoot Saul. So he's probably going to turn around and fight the Philistines with Israel. That's probably what he's going to do. So Achish says, come on, and we'll go up. So they did. And I'm sure we don't have any record. We don't have any really record. But I'm sure he was in a horrible tension. You all agree with that?
Yeah, sure.
He's going to have to fight the people he loved. And I marked a psalm here, Psalm 34. Listen to the heading of this verse, of this passage. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, if you see a reference, it will reference that he went to Achish and played like he was crazy. But I believe that that psalm heading is referring to this situation we're reading about right now. He was in horrible stress. Horrible stress. Going to have to fight the people he loved. And I believe he was not going to do that. I believe he's going to stand with Israel right in the middle of the enemy camp and probably going to defeat the enemy camp because of his dedication to Saul and Israel. Will anybody agree with that? Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You read your Bible, you ought to know.
Yeah.
And so he went up, and the elders of the Philistines said, we can't have him. He's going to turn. And they had more sense about it, and I believe they were right. So Achish told him, you can't fight with us. I'm sorry. I have all confidence in you. Just take him in and go back. Well, we came back. He came back and found that the Amalekites had destroyed Ziklag and took everything they had, burned the city, took all the men, women, and children, took all the treasures, headed out and burned the city. So when David came, he found the city burned. He found everything gone. They actually, buddy, they actually wanted to kind of mutiny on the bounty. They wanted to turn on David. And he got out of that. And I want you to look here at verse 11. Now they took after these Amalekites. Now we know about the Amalekites. Do we remember about the Amalekites? You know, they attacked Israel when they come out of Egypt. You remember that? And Deuteronomy said they snuck up on the backside, got the weak and sickly. And that Amalekite still does that. You know that, don't you? He won't attack probably the preacher like he will that guy that's just barely hanging on. And he'll have you down the road somewhere if you're not careful. So we know who all these people are. The Egyptian, let me tell you, when Moses went to get the Egyptians, go to get Israel out of Egypt, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should serve him?" But now some of them people knew who the Lord was. All them people in Egypt weren't just Egyptians. Those Israelites knew. So Israelites know, but the Egyptians don't know. They're lost. They're lost people. And by the way, the Amalekite, I tell you, the Bible said that the Lord would have war with him all of eternity, all the time. He would never stop.
That's right.
So that's got to be the devil. It's got to be the devil. So you got an Egyptian that don't know God. You got an Amalekite that hates God. And you got a David. There is another David. Jesus. He's the son of David. Sits on the throne of David. So really, when you have David here, you have a picture of the Lord. So let me put this down somewhere in your memory if you got a good one. There's a whole lot more said than read. There's a whole lot more said than you read. So that's what we're trying to look at. The Bible said, I just got a about near comment on everything here. We just have a running comment. How about that? Bible said in verse 11, now they're chasing these Egyptians and these Amalekites, and they found an Egyptian in the field. All right, now let me say this. Who found the Egyptian in the field? It was not David. It was his men that found this guy. So now we know the Bible said that we're to compel the sinner to come into the house of God. Ain't that right?
Yep.
So the preacher can't just visit everybody in the county. But you've got to try to get folk, your people, by church people, your people, have to try to get these Egyptians, get them to come to church.
Yes, sir. Sure.
That's right. So they found him. And they found him sick, and that's what they all are. They're all sick. Listen, if you're going to get one, he's going to be laying sick and about to die. The guy that's pulling the big load and got his chest stuck out and he don't know God and he's got a big billfold full of money and everything seems to go. Listen, one of the biggest curses in the world is to be successful and well off. No God, just money and okay. But I'm telling you, money and okay is going to put you in the wilderness sick and dying somewhere. So here we are. They found him. And so some of the people, some of David's men, found this Egyptian in the field. This guy that didn't know God. And brought him to David. Ain't that good?
Yeah.
What if David is Jesus? Thank God that's who you bring him to.
Yeah.
Go bring the Egyptian to Jesus.
Right.
That's what that's what Brother Tim's preaching about.
Yeah.
What do I have to offer? Well, I thought about that. That's a great text, buddy. That's a great text. Well, I looked in my bucket. And I saw a whole bunch of stuff in my bucket, but I took the top thing off. That's what this is right here. But I got another one right underneath it there. That's good, ain't it? And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. They gave him bread, and he did eat. He made drink water, I'm the bread, I'm the water. Just tons of stuff that's said that's more than it's what's read.
Right.
And they gave him a piece of, I don't know what all that means, cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. I mean, it's got to be energy somehow or another if God's got food for a sinner. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again in him. He sees hope. Now, it's not talking about the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the Spirit. He's revived. There's hope come up in him.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you, listen, you may tell a guy he's got a job, and he may be encouraged about it, but if you ever get him on this run right here, his spirit be revived,
amen.
He'll have hope.
Amen.
Thank God, amen, for the hope that comes from that.
Amen.
Well, the Bible said his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread or drank any water 3 days, 3 nights. He's been out a long time. He's about to die. And David, the Lord said to him, to whom? Boy, he said to that woman at the well, break, where's your husband?
Right.
He's always digging at the tender place, ain't he? He knows right where to get to you, buddy. I'm telling you, he'll know right where to get you. He'll know where to get you. He said, to whom belongest thou? I don't know. I don't know why he said that. I said, what are you doing here? What happened to you?
Yeah.
He said, who's your boss? That's who put him there.
Yeah. Right.
And he said, whence art thou? Where'd you come from? Who's your boss and where'd you come from? Well, this young Egyptian said, I'm a servant to the devil. A Malachite.
Yeah.
That's right, ain't it?
Yeah.
Ain't that about what you read there? It's just a whole lot more said than read. He said, I'm a servant to Amalekite. And look what it says about him. It says, and my master left me. Does that mean anything to you? He always leaves me.
Yeah.
He, the Marlboro man, when I was young, we had a TV. And the Marlboro man rode the horse and smoked the Marlboro. But I tell you what, it got to the end. A feller's eat up with cancer and he couldn't ride a horse. He had one. Now the Amalekite done left that old Marlboro feller. He ain't bragging about where he is now. He's left him out there to die. He always leaves you to die. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your deal is, but I'm telling you, if you ain't saved, your master gonna leave you someday in the field, starving to death. You won't have no hope. You better hope to God somebody comes along that knows David and to get you to Jesus. That's exactly right. If that don't happen, you'll bust hell wide open. That's right. You know what the chances are of you getting saved today? You know what the odds are? If I read it right, it's 49 million to 1. 49 million people will go to hell. And only one will find his way out of that mess. That's a big odds. I don't know if that's right or not, Tim. I don't know if that's right. But that's a crude measurement. I looked all that stuff up. Thank God you're in a church.
Yeah.
Huh? Ain't you glad somebody brought you to David?
Yeah.
Ain't you glad somebody caught you in a place? Listen, everybody's not to feel sick, but they're going to be if they don't have the Lord. Somewhere on the road, you're going to be in the field sick without nothing. The year I went to school, went off to Bible college, 10 millionaires killed herself. So just not long ago, I put it on that Google. I said, how many millionaires took their life this year? They don't know how many, but they told about the top 10. Two of them was Facebook people that originated Facebook. I'm not so sure we lost much there. Then they told about the top billionaires that took their life. Merck was one of them. Yeah, old Merkel. You know why he took his life? He lost a few $100,000. They scared him. He took his life. Just couldn't stand it. He asked Rockefeller how much you need. He said, just a little more.
Yeah.
That's what old Rockefeller said.
Amen.
Old Merck said, I can't stand to lose none. If I have to, I'm going to take my life. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Ain't it awful?
Yeah.
He said, I'm a young man of Egypt. I tell you, he's lost. He said, I serve an Amalekite. And my master left me. Because 3 days ago and I fell sick. He said my high time's run out 3 days ago. The party was over.
Right.
The wages of sin come home to me. My way of praying come home to me. That Amalekite drug him out behind a barn. Told him one day, he said, why don't you just try one good cigarette? Try it. Or why don't you... Old John Jackson said that he would take his bare feet and put them on that cigarette butt and walk with that cigarette butt between his toes around the house and then smoke what was left of it. He said his daddy drank white lightning liquor. Said, throw the jug down. And John said, I'd get the jug and pour the last dribblings out of it and keep doing that till I had enough to drink. He was 10 years old. Malachi will get you on that stuff.
Yeah.
He'll get you on the drugs.
Yeah.
Do you know what's happening in Georgia? They're taking that fentanyl and knowing that they probably are going to die from it.
Yeah.
It's on a rampage in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah. That's Amalekite doing that to them.
Yeah.
I said to Jay Daniels, he signed our services to the death. I led him to the Lord. He was a drug addict. He took those toadstools off of a cow patty and it knocked him out for about 3 days. I don't know what that chemical is, but it's poison. And Jay said, I was out, but I knew I was out. I couldn't come back. He said, I thought I'd never come back. And one day come out of it. I said, Jay, why did you do it? He said, no reason for living. No reason for... You tell me what they got reason for. Huh? What do they got?
Right, brother.
What do they got? And I'm going to tell you, and I'm not jumping on, and I'm not being mad. And I'm just telling you, when you take that tattoo, you're branded for the boss. That's what they do to cattle, and that's what the Amalekite does to his people.
Right.
He brands them for his own.
Right.
And you better pray to God Almighty that he gets that thing annulled and cross it out someday by his power. There's that big drug cartel that's in America that the president's about to get rid of.
Yeah.
They brand all their people. They brand them.
Yeah.
And they belong to them. That's what they do. That's what that Amalekite will do to you.
Yeah.
He'll burn you and mark you and you'll be his.
Yeah.
And it'll take David, at least a good David, to get you out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, it will.
Yeah,
yeah, I watch people. Why? You can't preach. You can't be a preacher if you don't watch people.
Yeah. That's right.
I told my PA... the other day, she's having a bad day. I was about my number eight chemotherapy. I said, Miss Gloria, you're having a bad day. She said, I'm not having a bad day. I'm not having a bad day. I said, ma'am, I've preached to people 45 years. I can see through you just like a piece of cellophane. You're having a bad day. Preachers see through people.
We
watch their eyes.
Yeah,
you do that?
Yeah.
Watch their eyes. You can see when the blinds are pulled and there ain't no drive in them and hope's gone. The Amalekite's done his work.
Yeah.
You can see it in them.
Yeah.
Amen. Old Jay said, no reason to live.
No.
Well, that's the way it is today, isn't it?
Yeah.
They said no God.
Right.
The outfit's just about told no God. It's all the way down to kindergarten.
Right. Yeah.
Tell them how to play nasty and no God.
Right.
Got little boys confused about what you are. Little girls confused about what you are.
Yeah.
We got everybody. We even got it in a stupid military. Thank God. I hope they stop that mess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You're right.
I don't know if it'll ever get done. Somebody will shoot him first.
Huh.
But anyway, I hope not.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I fell sick. My master... This good mastermind left me because he got sick. He didn't leave him a bottle of water and two aspirins or a couple Tylenols. He just left him to die. And he said, we made an invasion. Tells about it. We burned Ziklag with fire. David said to him, verse 15, can you bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me. Look what he said. Boy, this is what it's what got to me. He's swearing to me. He said, swear unto me by God. What do you mean swear, son? Don't, whatever you do, put me back in the hands of that Amalekite. He said, I'll show you where they're at. Don't kill me, but of all things, don't let me go back. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you what's happening today. These modern churches are not a bit turned on when somebody gets saved. It's just so what. Well, we had 120 last week. We had 20 this week. We have 100 next week. We have baptized all the time. We're just good and good. Praise God. Ain't no praise God at all in it. I'm telling you, when a sinner gets saved, it ought to turn everybody in that outfit on. We ought to cry and praise and shout to God of heaven down. We ought to thank God He saved a sinner. That sinner will never go to hell. See, I don't believe in eternal. You will when you get it, buddy. That's exactly right. We ought to get turned on by it. I tell you what else we ought to do. When there's a sinner on this altar trying to get out of the mess, we ought to get around him and try to help him out.
Amen.
You can't tell him what to do, but you can sure let him know you're helping him. He'll hear you back in there praying. He'll know somebody cares. It means something to him. This old way is about gone. It's about gone. I came to this old way. I didn't come in. I wasn't born in this way. But I dug my way to it now, Brother Joel. I found out this is the way.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of them profess salvation. But I ain't seen many of them possess salvation. And when in the world is getting saved ever allow you to live like a devil? I'm going to tell you, I ain't saying it can't happen. But it don't happen nearly as much as you think it does. You ought not have to run somebody down after they get saved. You ought not do too much. I tell you what, when I first, let me tell you all something. I saved a long time before I thought I knew a woman ought to dress right. A long time. But the first sermon I heard on it, I said, boom, that's right, buddy. As soon as I heard it, boom, just like that, I said, that's exactly right, right there. That's right. We didn't know a lot of things. But buddy, as soon as I heard it, I knew it was right. I'm going to tell you, these folks that fight that, there's something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. I'm going to tell you, that's right. I don't want to describe to you the things that's going on in my life, but when I heard, buddy, you didn't have to tell me twice.
You're right.
I knew it was wrong.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
and listen, I ain't going to preach on it. I ain't going to preach on it, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot better way of serving God than by rules and regulations.
Yes,
whole lot better to serve. It's a whole lot better way of serving because you love Him.
Yes.
If you don't love Him, it's because you don't know Him. We had a song come out when I was young. It said, to know Him is to love Him. It wasn't a Christian song, but I'm telling you, it's right to know Him. You, if you know Him, you'll love Him. I lay down in that old recliner, look away at Him, and I say, I'll tell you now, I'm going to tell you about my prayer life. It ain't praying, it's worship. That's the main thing. You start worshiping Him. When you start worshiping, you can pray, you can ask, and you can tell Him anything you want to. But if you'll worship Him, I lay back and start worshiping. And I'm going to just tell you my life now. Just tell you my life. When I say Father, you know, the Father originated this thing. But now the Son is exactly like the Father, but He came from the Father. And the Holy Ghost is exactly like the Son and the Father, but they all come from the Father.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
So if you lean over there and say, Father, I sure do appreciate you saving an old sinner like me. He smiles and said, that's good. That's good. When God says it's good, it's good. Let me tell y'all something. We don't think enough on God. You know, I heard the songs when I surveyed the wondrous cross. So I said, I'm going to survey the wondrous cross. Now we sing about the blood, nothing but the blood. You know where the emphasis is on that? You know, I asked one time, and if I remember right, I believe they conclude that over 20 billion people have lived on this earth to this day. Over 20 billion. There's 7.5 billion now. But all of time, they say there could have been as many as 10 billion alive that died in that flood. They say it's 22 billion, they estimate, have lived on the earth. Do you know what it would be like to find one person in 22 billion? Let me tell you, here's what that Josh McDowell said about eight prophecies fulfilled in one man. I said it here before, I'm pretty sure. But listen to what I'm going to tell you. He made this deduction on the chance. What's the chance of eight prophecies being fulfilled in one man? It's about 40. It's about 40, just shockingly, that were fulfilled in Jesus. But eight. It's a 10 with 15 zeros after it. 1 to 10 with 15 zeros. Let me tell you what that is. That's 2 foot of silver dollars on the state of Texas, one silver dollar marked, and a blind man turned loose to walk right to that silver dollar and pick it up. That's the chance of eight prophecies being fulfilled in one man. That's a big deal. Now, what's the chance of one human having blood that satisfied the Father and said, I will forgive the sins of every sinner that comes to me in repentance? What's the chance of one little jug of blood of forgiving the sins of any human that ever came? It's pretty rare. When you say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of one man, Jesus. Just one. Just one. Is that big? That's pretty big, Brother Joel. And you got to be saved. And I got to be saved. And you know, I say this, I say it everywhere. If we're supposed to win the world, we ain't doing too good. But that blood would save every sinner. But every sinner is not going to get saved. So what's the chances of you getting saved? Pretty rare. Pretty rare. Oh, my church, don't you thank God for a church where you come? And there's no pride and no stiff Mr. So-and-so. He said, here's what he said. I'm going to tell you, that boy right there was preaching in a tent meeting in Pennsylvania when he was a kid. And he named a text out of Isaiah 66. You remember that?
I do.
He said, unto this man will I look. And I was in trouble. I was so down. Under that little tent. He said, unto this man will I look, even to him who is of a contrite spirit and trembleth, and he's broken and a contrite spirit and trembleth at his word.
Right.
You think of the ingredients, what he just read. And when he said, unto this man, God said, unto this man will I look.
Right.
He that is broken and a contrite spirit and trembles at the word. Three things.
Yeah.
No stutters in that outfit.
No.
And I started shouting, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
It's like a volcano. He couldn't stop me and I couldn't stop him.
No, I didn't try.
He kept trying to read his text and finally just give up. I ruined his whole message.
Just shout with you.
Yep.
Amen.
What's the chances?
Is that a blessing?
Yeah.
That God would save. I needed that, huh? There's no strutters in this kingdom.
No.
I tell you, it won't hurt you a bit. Get down on your knees and crawl this altar. Say, Lord, if it's that rare, if it's that far out, if it's that tiny of hope for me, crawl down that altar and broken spirit and a contrite spirit and said that book says it all. That's all I want to hear.
That's right.
Oh, my. Oh, my. I'm so overwhelmed by it. Why would I not sit around and cry? Ask my wife. Sometimes I just break out of crying. Just take my hand, driving out the road, put my knee on the steering wheel, just crying, praising that it would find a minute particle called Wayne Henderson. Put that almighty hand down in the midst of that stew and find this little boy. Oh, my. There's so much to say. He said, swear by God. And you know what I thought about, Brother Joel? This is what I thought about. One is, we ought to get behind that sinner when he's... We ought to be concerned that he hears. We ought to really watch for him to come out of that pew with a broken, contrite spirit.
Yes, sir.
He's going to have to do all three of them to get the Lord to look at him. Come in the altar. That church ought to know. That sinner comes in here, he ought to know that this church cares about me.
Right.
Get on the altar. Get all around him. So, and I'm not trying to embarrass him. I believe God wants him to know there's people behind him trying to get him, push and pray for him to get in there.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Now, you remember the guy in 1 Corinthians 5. Said, it's reported among you, common reported among you, there's fornication. Such fornication is not so much named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. It's probably his stepmother. But it could have been his mother. But it probably was his stepmother. Now, what Paul said is, deliver him over to the devil for destruction of flesh. Now, that's what we're talking about, ain't it? If they cared about that sinner, Tim, like we ought to care, and they were so happy and that old boy got born again, when old Paul said, I tell you how to handle him. When you get together, you deliver him over to the Amalekite. I think he threw up his hand and said, oh my God, don't never let me go back. Please don't do that. And I'm going to tell you, I live with my wife. We've been married 57 years. And she's seen me a lot of times say, oh God, don't never let me go back. If he pulled his hand off of you, you'll be back. If he just pulled his hand back 1 minute. And when you get cockeyed or cold on God, and he pulls that hand back, your old boss will be there, buddy. He'll be there. You can be sure about that. I don't know if I'm doing you any good or not, but I'm just telling you, buddy, there's a whole lot more said than read right there. He said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master. If you do that, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll bring you to what you want. Ain't that right? I'm telling you, I don't know if there's sinners in here, but you'll never tell me a congregation this size, there's not some here. And the Amalekite's your boss. And maybe you ain't run sick yet, but you're going to get sick. And when you do, he ain't got no use for you no more. That's right, exactly. I watched a little old woman walk down the street to my church that I resigned, walking down the street. She had a T-shirt on. The arms just tore off. It didn't half cover her. She's staggering down the way. I'm not staggering drunk, but just weary with that life. I thought, my God, girl, there's a better way to live. Straggling down the street on the other side of the road. I didn't turn around. I couldn't get back to her. I'm telling you, buddy, that Amalekite will leave you in that tore off T-shirt. Stink and smell like a swamp. Sick and dying with no hope. And then one of his demons will come by and say, why don't you just end it all? And when you pull the plug, buddy, there ain't never no hope for you. But as long as you're in this life, if we can get you a little bit to get you to David or the Lord, if we can just get you to the Lord, just a minute, if we can just get you there just a second or two, he's got enough to offer you that you'd probably get in. So I want to ask you today, I'm weak and tired, but I know I prayed you right. It's been on my heart ever since I knew it was coming. It's been on my heart. Won't you get up and come? Won't you get down here on this altar and get out of that Amalekite's hands and get in Jesus' hands.
Amen.
I never met anybody sorry that got saved. I ain't never met one.
Nobody really got saved.
I ain't even heard some that thought they got saved didn't get saved. They don't nobody complain about Jesus. He ain't never done nobody wrong. As a matter of fact, you believe he's perfect? Y'all believe he's perfect? If there's a God, he is. Or he ain't God. You believe that, don't you? He ain't never sinned. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Danny, you believe that, don't you?
Yes,
preacher, you believe that, don't you? He ain't never sinned.
Amen.
You believe that now?
Yes.
Be careful now. You sure you believe that?
Yes.
Then he'll never look at you and say, I shouldn't let that happen to him.
That's right.
That'll choke you pretty heavy.
Go ahead.
Cancer? Abandoned by a spouse? He'll never look and say, I shouldn't have let that happen. Mom, dad die. Baby die in your arms. He'll never look at you and say, I shouldn't let that happen. You believe that?
Yeah.
You believe that?
I do.
Danny, you believe that? You believe that, preacher?
Yeah.
I believe it as far as I can believe it. He'll never send anything in your life he's sorry he did, but he'll never allow anything in your life that he... So then what happens? Why this happened? Why did I have cancer? I don't know, but I'll tell you, I love him more today than I did when I got it. Why did he let that leg break? I ain't quite figured that out. I ain't really, but it'll be good. That's what Romans 8:28 said, don't it? How are you going to get out of it? How can it say? How can he even write that if that's not true? All things. Broken legs, cancer, broken homes, all kinds of sickness. I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe God's real, no. He knows everything. He knows everything. Why did he stop it? Because you needed it. He'd have stopped it if you didn't need it. You're never going to get out of it. If you love him, buddy, I'm telling you, it will work for good to you.
That's right.
If you're lost, in here, we're just telling you today, our boss is Jesus. We are slaves, but we volunteered to be his. Drive the pin in the ear, buddy. I'm his forever. He's never treated me wrong. He fixed every bad junk thing I ever did. I sat in my chair. I don't go out and drive no more. I used to drive and pray. I got where I said, Lord, can't I pray at home? Yeah. So teach me to pray at home. I get up early. I woke up all night last night. And I prayed. I worshiped him all night. I lay down in that chair and I said, Lord, I want to worship you. You know what he does? He brings up my filthy, wicked life. I say, Brother Wayne, that's not the Lord that does that. That's the devil. I said, oh, no. It's the Lord. He wants to remind me that he didn't get much when he got me. But I got much when I got him. I'll say, listen, he'll review something that I did. I'll say, oh, God. Oh, God, how can this be? How could you save me from that? He'll say, honey, I knew that was in you when I saved you. And because you've repented of that, I forgive you. I forgive you. I say, how can you? I forgive you. It's always so kind. I forgive you. But I forgive you. That's exactly right. Won't you come and get saved today? Won't you give him your heart? It's how you do. All you got is a load of junk. I mean, all you got is a wheelbar full of junk. That's all you are. Junk that don't work, never has worked. And I'm for trying to live right, but I'm going to just tell you this. I mean, but I'm telling you, if you're trying to live right, you don't have to. You just got to try. And when you try, done. He said, he's trying. That's all I need. Hey, I want to tell you something. Man, I'm telling you, I've got too much preaching right now. You don't want all this. I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a stronghold, man, I brought up a real nasty subject right there, didn't I? A stronghold. That's a place the devil owns and you can't get it out of his hands. Lust, envy, strife, pride, vainglory, self-centeredness, selfishness, hatred, unforgiveness. Somebody done you wrong? You like to get them by the throat? When I drive down the road, if I had a 50 caliber machine gun, I could clear the road up and drive the way I want to. But Jesus didn't even want a 50 caliber. He didn't even want a 50 caliber.
No.
He never feels that way.
No, he don't ever.
Never. Nope, he's never impatient.
We're bad news.
I can't take it. I can't take it, sister. I hate that. I said, look how he's driving. My wife said, ain't nobody can drive but you. I said, you're right, lady. You understand that Jesus would not do that. It's a stronghold. Tell me when you'd quit that. But that's not the only stronghold. I think the worst stronghold is a sex stronghold. Go ahead and quit it. You tried before, didn't you? Swore up and down, I'm just going to get took care of. Never did. Made a resolution New Year's, never did. As soon as you turned over a new leaf, the wind blowed it back. Never kept your promise the first day, did you? Dobson's got a book on how to break up strongholds. You know what I think about it? Baloney. It won't even make a good fire in a fireplace. You can't break a stronghold. But you got to know it's wrong. And when you know it's wrong, you got kindness from the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. Please help me. I can't stop this mind. Watch my niece said, if you can't stop your mind, you got a sick mind. I said, I'm guilty. That mind just runs, burns. It's like a seething pot. Say, I'm going to quit that. Can't. But I know somebody who can. I know a man who can. Yep. Say, Brother Wayne, I prayed and he didn't get rid of it. Well, you just wait around. Them wheels grind slow, but they get it good. They just turn slowly, but they get it good. And say, Brother Wayne, God ain't done that for me yet. Just keep telling him. Get this. Get this. I hate this. I despise this. It's the day you say, well, I'm not praying no more. Heck with it. I'll just go on. That's the day, buddy, you hung yourself. I hate me. I hate what I am. Please help me. He don't seem to help you. You just keep praying. One day he'll say, well, it's time. Throw the big switch. There it's gone. You know there's a song written. I don't know if you want to hear this or not. Y'all want to quit now? There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. What's the rest of it? Where sin cannot molest. Near to the heart of God. You believe that? I asked Miss Jimmy Lou Allen. I said, you see that right there? Yeah. I said, you believe that? She said, well, he wrote it. I said, I could write that song. There is a place. Y'all believe that?
Yeah. Amen.
I ain't bragging on you. I ain't bragging on me.
No.
I'm telling you, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God.
Amen.
Where sin cannot molest. Near to the heart of God. But you know what? It's not cheap. It comes by you learning that He knows best always. That old man preached down to Ronnie Simpson's camp meeting one time. He preached, the will of God is best. A boy came to my car the other day. I hope I'm not wearing you out. A boy came to my car the other day. He's about 30, 28 years old or something. He went to church. He went to an altar. He said God saved him. And whether he did or not, I don't know. But he went out. He went away. So he came to the car and he's standing there and I said, son, where you been? He said, well, I just don't believe anybody loves me. I said, well, you got one fella in here that loves you. I love you. He said, I just felt like everybody didn't love me. I said, oh, no, it ain't right. I said, we love you, son. There's three reasons why you deal with a person in church that's got cockeyed. If they cause division, you mark them, have no fellowship, put them out. Right. If they get messed up doctrinally, you go to them, you try to deal with it. You two or three of you, finally take it to the church, you got to get them out. But if somebody is overtaken in a fault, you get down in that mud with them.
Right.
And you put your arms around them and say, come on, buddy, let's get up. Let's go back. Let's get this back. He's fighting a stronghold. Maybe it's cigarettes or alcohol. I'm telling you, this drug thing is awful. And I don't know where we're going to deal with it, how we're going to deal with it, but you don't tell me that that's not where we're at. You crawl down in there by him, put your arm around him and say, come on, buddy. Come on, honey. Get up now. Come on. Don't you do this. God loves you. And he's letting you see that that's still in you. He lets you do that because he wants you to know it's still in you. Come on. Let's get out of here. And he comes back and he falls again. You go back and he falls again. And you go back and he falls again. You go back.
Yes.
You never give up on him.
That's it.
When he's overtaken in a fault.
Right.
Always remember that you could be taken
that's
by the same thing.
Yeah.
Get down there and help him. Now listen, why don't you get in this altar today? Some of you are saved. And you said, I can't be saved. I knew a woman quit church over our brother Tim at E-Town. He quit. She quit completely because she couldn't quit smoking. I said, Rosemary, that's not why you're lost.
No.
Go on that altar and keep begging him and saying, it's wrong. What I'm doing is wrong. Please help me. What I'm doing is wrong. I said, I don't know how long it'll take, but he'll forgive you and cleanse you. He'll forgive you, 1 John chapter 1, and he will cleanse you. You keep telling him and he'll keep working. And one day the old Dutch cleanser will take it out of you. That's right. I've said my part. Why don't you come and pray today? Are you shackled by sin? It don't matter if you're saved or not. If you're fighting it, and you know, I was preached to you because I've watched some of you, I've watched it bite down on you. I felt virtue in my heart go out.
Yeah.
I'm preached to you. You think God just had me rambling?
No.
Huh? Close your eyes and throw the dart at the dartboard? No, sir, buddy. God knows right where he wants that thing to hit. And he stuck you right in the heart.
Yeah.
I wish somebody had preached this way to me when I was young.
Yeah.
I thought shackled until I thought, surely to God I'm not saved. Surely to God I'm not saved. But I couldn't get that freedom to go get saved because I was already saved. Won't you come tonight, today? Get in here. You won't be wrong. Listen, if you miss this, I tell you what the Malachi will do. He'll talk you out of it down the road. He'll whisper in your ear and say, I ain't nothing to that. He's a liar. He left you sick. He'll leave you sick. He lied to you. Why don't you come? Let's bow our heads. Preacher, come on.